What's up, sports fans? Welcome to Bonnie Jill Laughlin, the Weekly Pass. We are chatting all things MLB All-Star Game. We have very special guest Dennis Bernstein here with us to chat about the NHL, and it's the last day of Summer League, so let's dive in.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
It's so good. It's so good. We are young tonight.
You're young.
What is up, everybody? I am sitting in for the one and only Bonnie Jill. She is actually at the MLB All-Star Game in D.C. So we've got our amazing panelists. We've got David Bloom in the house.
Hello,
Writer of Fourth Period Magazine. We've got Sirius XM NHL host Dennis Bernstein in the house with us. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Great being with you guys. It's a pleasure.
So good.
Let's do it.
Let's dive right in. So it is the last day of Summer League. I don't know how I feel about this, David. We've been chatting about this, I feel like,
all
summer.
We've been talking about it a little bit. It's been an anticipated rookie class, and they've got to flex their muscles in Summer League. Mm-hmm. You've had guys like Trae Young go off for big numbers. DeAndre Ayton's playing well. Marvin Bagley's showing his stuff.
Right.
You have a lot. Josh Hart. He's not a rookie, but, you know, he's been showing a lot of stuff for the Lakers, who are in the championship.
And my Portland Trailblazers.
That's right.
The Lakers seem to have, though, they seem to have this, at least in the last 2 years, this nice little, like, Summer League kind of flair they have. You know, with Lonzo winning the MVP last year and them doing well. It's just, it kind of adds to it. I mean, you talked about it off air, but you had LeBron walking in the Lakers shorts, really, like, calling out his teammates by name, like, all the players, and he'd approve of what they were doing, which players didn't see, like, a couple years ago from Kobe when they were being called soft.
Right.
So, like, I'm excited for it. They're playing the Blazers.
I know.
The Blazers.
I don't hate it. I don't hate it at all. What did you guys think about the Tyronn Lue and, you know, the little hug between he and LeBron? I think fans everywhere were excited
for the
about
cameras.
That.
Come on.
I know. Well, no, they really are friends, right?
Right.
I don't know how much of friends you can be after you just
you can't
kind
be friends with LeBron. You're going to take orders from LeBron.
That's exactly.
He runs
that's
the
true.
Show. Right?
I know.
Which is okay. If you sign up for that, that's what you sign up for.
Sure. Well, what do you think about his chemistry with Luke? So he and Luke Walton were obviously. I know. They were they were drafted together, but how do you think that camaraderie, how do you think that player-coach relationship is going to pan out?
It's really dangerous because, you know, like, especially when players are, like, one player is still playing and they were drafted in the same year, player's a coach now out of the league. If you look at Luke Walton, like, the first thing you're going to find is, like, Luke Walton, like, fail highlights. Like, he wasn't the greatest player of all time. He served his role on those Lakers teams, but he wasn't the most amazing player of all time. LeBron being probably top three most amazing players of all time. LeBron he takes over a team, but he takes over the entire team. Like, like you saw in that Cavs team, like Tyronn Lue, he was the head coach, but they had David Blatt. LeBron said, I want David Blatt out, bring in Tyronn Lue. Mm-hmm. Tyronn Lue was the coach. Tyronn Lue, also a former player, he played for the Lakers. Mm-hmm. You might know him from getting stepped over by Allen Iverson in the 0-1 finals. But you have a guy now like Luke Walton who has shown that he can actually coach a team when he had to take over for Kerr in Golden State.
Wait a minute. I could have coached that team. Right.
Okay.
I mean, so
that's okay.
That's,
yes, I get you. But I mean, it's
but
a lot.
There's a body of work there.
Yeah, it's a lot because Steve Kerr really did a lot for that team that people don't realize. Mm-hmm. Like, they had Mark Jackson and they didn't go anywhere.
Yep.
They lost to the Clippers in that. I'm a Clippers fan, by the way.
I know. Don't hate him.
Just to put that out. Just to put that out there. But they lost in that series in 7. They got the new coach, and Steve Kerr really elevated that team.
Right.
But Luke Walton's a good coach, but I don't think LeBron's going to be able to just sit back.
But I just wonder with his mentality, like you said, Dennis, LeBron, it's the LeBron show. So can he take direction from Luke? That's what it's going to come down to.
I don't think it's a matter of taking direction. I think you got to go back to his time in Miami when he was with Eric Spoelstra. Mm-hmm. I mean, he ran the show.
Yeah.
Right? As simple as that. And I'm sure that Rod and the rest of the team and Magic went to Luke and said, look, this is how it's going to run. And you can coach a team or not coach a team if you want to step aside. So when you sign up, like I said, when you sign up for LeBron, you're getting the whole package, right? Which is the great play on the court. But he's going to control the team. You're going to have to run his type of offense. He's going to control the ball. Now you talk about, you know, a ball. I don't know what happens with him because LeBron's going to have the ball in crunch time. You don't really need a point guard. So what are you going to happen, you know, with him and with the father as well, with LeVar? I mean, look, he's not going to put up with that nonsense. So for me, the most intriguing thing is that whole dynamic of the balls versus LeBron. He is not going to tolerate that.
No, not at all. We were talking about that last week, about that dynamic. Yeah. It's going to be too much. But we also, is that going to crumble the foundation? Again, if it's just LeBron all over again holding up the Lakers like he did the Cavs, I mean, there's got to be some foundation.
The Cavs are really, and I mean, Terrence Ross's tweet said it the best. The Lakers are really the Cavs of the West. Yeah. Like, it's very, they have a very similar team. They have a very, like, it's a young kind of core of guys.
Right.
Being led by LeBron. There's not enough there to take them past any of the elite teams in the West, especially team like the Warriors, who now
or
have
Houston.
Yeah, like Houston.
They're at best third behind those teams. Mm-hmm. I put them ahead of San Antonio because if they're going to trade Kawhi, then they're not going to be a contender. So it's going to be difficult. Your Clippers, I don't know what to tell you. They're a forgotten team there. You know?
We're in. I mean, Clippers have been looking at Kawhi. A lot of teams have been looking
at
Kawhi.
But he's already said – I mean – he wants to play for the Clippers over the Lakers, correct?
There's been reports there.
Because I keep hearing back and forth.
The thing about the sports media, though, is there are reports everywhere.
Yeah.
You're going to find a story for every single thing you want to hear, which is the reason why I just got to wait till it happens.
That's why I wrote a lot of those stories, actually, because that's what that feeds everything. It's
exactly.
It's conjecture. It's rumor. We love that. We eat that. Mm-hmm. That's why we're on the air here. It's because of the talk. So,
sure.
But I think that it's good. The optics are good for the Lakers because the fact that he did go to Vegas and sit there in the front row with Lakers shorts on and go talk to Luke. He's done all the steps necessary in the early. Now, he hasn't spoken yet. Won't speak to Lear. Like the end of the month, he's going to do an appearance in Akron. Mm-hmm. It's going to be his first public comments about joining the Lakers. So he's kept quiet, which is great. Mm-hmm. And, you know, let's be real. This guy, he's iconic, but he's never been in trouble. He's a role model.
Yeah.
He's a great father to his kids. He's done all the great things, and he's a great leader. He's an exceptional ball player. He's the best, you know, I think he's the best basketball player without a question right now in the league.
Oh,
so,
of course.
So you have to, you want that.
Right.
And the big picture, guys, is what happened here is that for 3, 4, 5 years, the Lakers were not relevant.
Mm-hmm.
In a city that's about stars
and
winning and championships, this team was not relevant. The Clippers were a better team.
They were.
Right?
The Clippers were a better team.
They were
that's
legit,
CP,
better
DJ.
Team.
Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre. Mm-hmm. Oh, they had this.
And now the paradigm has shifted back to the Lakers because all you got to do is go on StubHub, look at opening night tickets to sit in the first row for LeBron.
Oh.
You'll see how pertinent the Lakers are. So they are now once relevant.
Yep.
But like David says, they're not a championship team. They're probably a second round eliminator at this point in time.
Right.
They're not going to win the division. They're probably a 4 or 5 seed, but they're relevant. Mm-hmm. Jim Hill on Channel 2 will be talking to LeBron.
Of course.
Good luck to the rest of the teams in the fall trying to get some space on TV when LeBron starts playing, especially the Kings. I mean, good luck.
I know.
Right? But again, I think the big picture is they had to make a bold move to make this franchise relevant in this city.
Of course, and they did.
Yeah,
and
they did.
I mean, it's going to be. I mean, like you just said, opening night, people are coming to see LeBron, and not so much the Lakers, but LeBron.
Regardless of the results, they're now relevant in the media landscape again.
They just jumped to relevancy, though. Mm-hmm. Like I honestly thought they had a nice little rebuild going. Like maybe like guys like Brandon Ingram and Kyle Kuzma, they had a nice rebuild going, and I think they just wanted relevance right now, so they decided to. Almost, it feels like cancel it and just sign up for LeBron for 4 years.
Yeah. But when you watch him play and you see he could still lead, and maybe, you know, if they know they're not going to win a division, then maybe you don't play him 82 games.
Right.
Maybe you don't take all the juice out of him. You don't want to squeeze that orange so hard in the regular season.
Sure.
If they know they're going to get in, rest him, play him 72 games, have him sit 10 games, and get him ready and primed for the playoffs. They didn't have that luxury in Cleveland because, like you said, they weren't a very good team.
Of course. Well, and I think that. Furthermore, like you said, on top of being relevant or trying to establish relevance, they are looking at the 3-year plan, as Magic Johnson has talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking at the opportunity to win a championship within 3 years. But now there's that conversation about, well, LeBron's going to be 35 in a year, and can he again sustain the level of I guess elite playing that he's capable of into his late 30s?
Well, alone, no.
Right?
Alone,
so they're having to build that
not.
Roster. But we also know next year is going to be there. It's a free agency shopping spree, so it'll be interesting.
You
got to
add from here, but you got to start somewhere. And they didn't. They were so far behind the pack. They were looking at without LeBron another 30-win season.
Right.
Even though you mentioned the kids that are progressing, they weren't going to be contender.
Right.
They weren't going to make the playoffs, and you can't have that in that arena. You can't have that at Staples Center.
Right. Well, it's interesting who's going to play with LeBron because I know isn't Kawhi made comments about not wanting to play with LeBron.
He's made his comments.
Yeah. He wants to be the man, go somewhere else. He could go to Philadelphia and lead a young team to a possible championship. He could go to Celtics, who are one, you know, probably one player away from winning a championship, if not already a championship team, with, you know, Hayward coming back and Kyrie being healthy. So I get that mentality. And it happens because in a sport where you only have 12 guys on a roster and five guys on the court, like you, one player can swing the pendulum, but you have to have the core around them, as you both mentioned. The Lakers aren't there yet, but it makes them much more attractive. Right. Like, there are guys who don't want to be the guy, you know, in prime time.
Sure.
Right? And those are really good players, complimentary players, like a Scottie Pippen back in the day with Michael Jordan. He was never going to be the guy, but he would be happy to be the second guy. And if you want to come and win championships, are you sit up here? Is it a great recruitment tool for other free agents?
Sure.
Absolutely is. So I get the fact that it accelerated this rebuild, which it doesn't look like a rebuild anymore, but it puts you back in play for high-value free agents.
Yeah, true. I mean, oh, well, the Lakers, they don't really have a Scottie Pippen right now.
Right, they don't.
LeBron's played with one before.
Maybe Ingram develops into that, but no, right now they do not have that.
I don't know. They don't have – they need, like, a second fiddle to LeBron. They really do.
I loved their interaction, too, at Summer League. You know, they were talking about that today, about his, you know, Ingram's hair and, like, their hug and interaction. And just,
he's doing all the right things.
Around, you know, engaging and being already –
he's being a leader. That's what leaders do. You come in and there's a lot of thought about, you know – new guy at the top of the food chain. What's he going to do? He's done all the right things.
He's been visible. He's training.
Right. He's always in shape. Right. Yeah. So that's not an issue. But he's done exactly what you want a star player to do. Right? Yeah. He's not caused trouble. He's the opposite of Ball. Right. With Lonzo and LaVar and all that other stuff. This is not creating commotion. It's creating excitement around the team, even at the summer league. Right. You know, the first thing you turn on the local news, local sports. What are they talking about? Summer league.
Yep.
The Dodgers are in first place. They're talking about summer league. Really?
We'll be chatting about that at the end here. Well, and that's what's so interesting is it's just all eyes are on basketball. Yep. All eyes are on LeBron. All eyes are on L.A., and I guess that's kind of what we love. And another thing that I love and want to get right into is my world of hockey, Dennis.
So it's everyone, July, Beck.
I know. It's a quiet offseason, but we still have so much to talk about.
Yeah.
And again, to nod at your credentials, you've been a correspondent for the NHL. We saw each other at NHL Awards.
Yep.
You were at the draft. You are all over the place. So I just want to chat to you especially or ask your thoughts about Hossa. This was such a key player for the Blackhawks, just traded to the Coyotes. I would love to hear about your thoughts about that. Is that a great acquisition for the Coyotes?
Well, that's just a salary cap move. So he's not going to play anymore. He had that. Players get rashes sometimes playing in sweating and playing in a uniform. So basically that was done for the Coyotes to acquire another asset, which is Vinny Hinostroza, young player with speed. So Hossa helps them with salary cap. It's just it's taking a bad contract, getting another asset.
Yeah.
So Hossa won't play again. He won't play for Arizona. But Hinostroza is a good rebuild by John Chyka in Arizona. Marian Hossa, to me, is a Hall of Fame player. He's played forever, won multiple championships, great defensive player.
Yeah.
So he's one of these legacy players that played a very long time. But again, it's towards its mechanics. It's different in the NBA because it's a hard salary cap. So, so they say, I mean, you see these more and more with salary cap moves. We'll give you a player, but you got to take our bad contract.
Right.
It happened with Toronto with David Clarkson. So you'll see more and more of these
moves.
A lot
of draft picks are switched.
Draft picks. So they'll say, look, we need some cap relief. And that's what Chicago needed. They needed cap relief. They got him off the books. Now they can probably make another play, maybe for a Jeff Skinner or Max Pacioretty because they need help offensively.
Who would you like to see them acquire? I feel like, I mean, they were a lot like the Lakers. They were at the top of their game for years and years and years, winning championship after championship, and now they're obsolete.
Well, what happened with them was they tied themselves into long-term contracts with Jonathan Toews, with Patrick Kane, more importantly with Duncan Keith and with Keith Seabrook, where these contracts now – these guys are in their mid-30s, and it's different from hockey than basketball. When you get to the mid-30s, you're in a league that there's 18-year-olds skating around the ice.
Sure.
You got to really be fast. And so their play's deteriorated, and they've been locked into these long-term contracts that are signed until 2023, 2024.
Sure.
So they need relief. I think what they need to do is they made a trade last season when they traded Terry Perrin for Brandon Saad. Bad trade for Chicago.
Sure.
This kid went to Columbus, scored 82 points. Brandon Saad, well-liked by both Kane and Toews, but was not the product. He was on the fourth line some night. So I think what they're probably going to do here is go after another scorer.
Sure.
And Max Pacioretty and Jeff Skinner are both rentals. So you got to be careful on what kind of assets you send back. Like we'll talk, I'm sure, about Manny Machado and with respect to rentals. But would Pacioretty look good next to Jonathan Toews? Sure would. Would Jeff Skinner look good next to Toews as well? Yeah. So I think that's what they need. They need scoring. But they're in trouble because they have an aged core. and guys who aren't the players they once were, and they have untradeable contracts.
Sure.
Like in any sport, you have to be – you know, it's funny. We talked about a 3-year plan, 5-year plan.
Sure.
When you sign a player to an 8 or 9, back in the day, it's 10-year contracts.
Right.
Nobody cares about year 10 or year 8
yeah.
or year 7. They look at 3 years. And so when players – when fans talk about, well, Kolachuk signed for 4 years, or they gave Drew Doughty $11 million for
right.
8 years. No, you care about 3 years, because after 3 years, players are older. You got younger players getting drafted. So it's about a 3-year window. It always is
sure.
in any particular
sure.
sport. It's how it is, even with salary caps. So when you see those big deals come down, that you worry about. So a guy like Pacioretty, who wants $8 million for 8 years,
right.
you got to think hard about it. You're sitting there with 4 long-term contracts. The team is deteriorated. Do I want to add another guy at 30 years old in a relatively young mm-hmm. league? And go again here because
right.
I need the scoring. So I think Pacioretty would be in play. Maybe Skinner would be a little bit cheaper for them, but they need to add to their offense. And in a division where you've got Winnipeg, you've got Nashville, St. Louis, they made
tough
a lot
division.
Of ads.
Yep.
It's
good. Yep.
They're the fourth best. As
yes.
crazy as it sounds, if we sit here in 2014 and said, you know, Chicago's the fourth best team in the Central, no way.
Never
look at all the stars.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that's what you have to weigh. So I think they'll go for offensive help. I'm not sure they want to go back in and get another big-time player.
No, and that's what's interesting. You mentioned that about hockey, is that they sign these players for anywhere between 5 to 10 to 11 years, and mm-hmm. it's just – there's so much fluctuation in the sport. Like you said, in 3 years, everything
yeah.
can change. Injuries, like you said, their age is a huge component. Mm-hmm. For you, in terms of free agency, best and worst deals?
I think the Kings did great with Kolachuk.
They did.
I really did. I think they did fine with him. You know, Beck, there wasn't a lot of really high level. Like, look, the best deal
was
Tavares.
The only, yeah.
It was really
yeah.
only the big player. And did they really need him? No, they need help defensively. Now, mm-hmm. they're going to score a lot more goals with him. They're going to make some players. Maybe they move some offensive players to get mm-hmm. defensive help. But the way they're constituted right now, are they better than Tampa or Boston
mm-hmm.
or even Pittsburgh? No, I don't think so. They're better with John Tavares.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not – they didn't address their primary need, which was defense. So that's it. And Kings, look, they needed scoring. They went out and got a player
they
who they think – look, Kolachuk hasn't played in the league for 5 years. And the thinking there is – if he's 80% of what he was when he left mm-hmm. 5 years ago, they'll help. Because
right.
their top line left wing scored 9 goals last season.
Mm-hmm.
When you remember, when to go back to the playoffs, they scored 3 goals against Vegas, right? So
yep.
they needed to improve. You're not a championship team when your first line left wing, Alex Highfowl, good kid,
sure.
hustles, creates space, not a goal scorer. Your top line left wing can't be 9 goals.
Nope.
Can't be.
Nope.
So if he comes in and scores 25 goals, and now you need help from other players. You need a healthy Jeff Carter. You need to follow
yes.
Ian Pearson to do better. But if he
that
comes in and
line.
Gets 25 to 30, how many more games are you going to win? And the team that won the division and went to the cup final, Vegas, maybe they regress a little bit because
right.
they lost David Perron. They lost James Neal.
They did, yeah.
They added Paul Schnotny, but
sure.
maybe they take a step back. Maybe they regress. So there's opportunity here for the Kings to win the division, really. If they play to their level where they should be, they're still a good defensive team that they've been, and they were the best defensive team in the league last year.
Yeah.
Adding Kovalchuk, I think it's the best move because they didn't have to move assets. If they trade for Max Pacioretty, if they traded for mm-hmm. Jeff Skinner, they would have to give up a prospect and a pick. Here, they just got him for money. If he works out fine, and again, it's a 4-year deal. It's
right.
a 3-year deal, so you're not really worried about
well,
it.
Well, and he had an impeccable 2018 for the Olympics. So
he did great in the Olympics. He scored he was a point-of-game player in the KHL.
Yeah.
Now, granted, the KHL is not the NHL, but he stayed in shape. You
mm-hmm.
see his workout videos.
He's
dragging
insane.
Cars or
yes.
whatever. So he's ready. He's
yeah.
prepared. And he did a conference call with the media on Saturday, and his goal was to win the Stanley Cup.
Sure.
And that's why he's coming back. And he believes that the teams that he talked to, San Jose, Anaheim,
right.
Dallas, he thinks the Kings gave him the best opportunity to win the Stanley Cup.
What yeah. line do you think he'll be playing on?
He'll be on the top line with Kopitar
yeah.
and Brown. I know
sure.
that Robitaille and Blake went to Kopitar and spoke with him about Kovalchuk.
Yeah.
And they think, look, set him up for his one time on the power play, give them regular shifts, they think 30 goals.
Yeah, but like you said, they need more out of Toffoli and they need more out of Carter.
That's
Pearson,
the whole key.
Of course. Yeah.
You can't – this is like – it's like the Cavaliers
mm-hmm.
with LeBron James.
Sure.
It's not just one guy. It's not just one line. If you don't have
right.
depth in this league, you can't do it. You can't do it anymore. It's not just one – as great as those players were – and, you know, Kolachuk scores 30 and Kopitar has another 90-point
yeah.
season and Brown scores 25
oh,
goals.
Kopitar had one of the best seasons he's
he
ever had as a King.
Year.
But, again, it can't be another LeBron thing where he's holding the team
it
up.
It can't be just one line. It doesn't work in this league anymore. There's too many talented players on each team
right.
because of the salary cap and because it's a hard salary cap that you'll need more. So you need – you know, Jeff Carter – missed 55 games with an ankle injury. When he came back, he played 27 games. He was not the same Jeff Carter when he left. Hopefully 100% when the season starts, and hopefully that will galvanize Toffoli and Pearson, who really missed Jeff Carter. They tried injury and kept me in the middle. He's a good kid. He'll hopefully progress now in his third year, but they need Jeff Carter, need him healthy, and they need those two guys to produce, because I'll tell you that I think both Toffoli and Pearson are playing for their jobs in Los Angeles. I think if they go through another season where they
100%
don't, when they don't produce, or they produce at the level they were, Pearson had, I think, 15 goals, Toffoli had 24. You would think Toffoli would approach 39 total by himself. So I think that these guys are not playing for contracts, obviously, but they're playing. I think that Blake might look at this team again after this season's over and say, if those guys don't score 20 and 30, that maybe take a different look and maybe move them out via trade.
Oh, they are. This year is going to
be
a stake in the ground. Like, they need to go back. It's just the expectation of where they were 4 years ago. And it's like they still have the same players, so it's a matter of got readjusting the lines, and again, Kopitar and his leadership just did so much last year. But
you carried the team.
You can only lead so much.
There's only so much. You know what? When you get to the playoffs, Dave, you know you're going to get the best defensive player against you. You're going to get best defensive pair, and you're going to need your depth player to score. And that just didn't happen.
Right, and they have Doughty. I mean, obviously, what's your thoughts on that contract?
They had to give it to him.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at their depth chart behind Drew Doughty. It's scary.
Yeah.
So they had to do it.
Especially when they're competing also in the same conference as the Predators, who are the best defensive team in the league.
Absolutely.
So.
I mean, Jonathan Quick's on long-term. Drew is, if he's not the best defenseman in the league, and this year Victor Hedman won the Norris Trophy, he's the second best defenseman in the league.
So good.
That's the going price. You have to keep him. I have no problem with the deal. Now, next season, when his extension kicks, then it's going to be an issue with respect to managing the salary cap. But you know what? 1 year at a time, they'll see how they perform. But right now, the way they've added Kovalchuk, and I look at the rest of the team, to me, they're at best co-favorites to win the division. And if they are, they're a second seed in the playoffs. That gets them home ice in a couple of rounds.
Oh, it's just...
So there's but the window's closing, because all these guys that we mentioned, Drew's going to turn 30.
Yep,
Kopitar's 32. Kovalchuk's 35. Jeff Carter's 33. It's now. It's go time right now. And they got back to the playoffs.
Yep.
All the changes they made last year with Blake and Robitaille taking the control was great. Former players, they understand the player mentality. And, David, you'll notice in basketball, if you don't identify with players now, you can't coach in any league in professional
sports.
You have to connect with the players. It's not in – look, Daryl Sutter, Dean Lombardi did great things in Los Angeles. But it was their way or the highway. And then when I talked to – they did an interview with David Quinn, who's the new coach of the New York Rangers. And he was a college coach. And he said, what do you think a college coach is going to see in the NHL where these guys are getting paid $5, $6, $7 million a year? He said, look, despite what these guys are getting paid, when you tell them to do something, you want to know why. Before, it's like, you know, in the old mentality is go get the puck, go, you know, in the war mentality, in World War II, go capture that hill. Now, this is a millennial generation. Players want to know why. Yeah. Why do I have to do it? Why is the offense like this? And you could see that because Blake and Robitaille lead the charge, they're former players.
Yeah.
They understand the player mentality better. Not that Daryl wasn't a great player.
Well, it's being relatable. It's being able to have that relationship.
And John Stephenson
has
been like low-key, got buy-in from the players.
Right.
It's a different mentality. That's the type of coach that now succeeds. So the Daryl Sutters, the Ken Hitchcocks, the taskmasters in any sport, you can't do it anymore. Sure. Players will not respond. And fortunately, they turned it around last year. But now they have to build on the success of last year.
Oh, and we see that all the time in basketball.
Look at front offices. Like, you got Magic in the front office for the Lakers. Mm-hmm. Most coaches were former players. You see that a lot in baseball, too. A lot of managers are former players. Mm-hmm. You know, like
the Lakers GM is a former agent.
Exactly.
He's agent. Come on, really. It's not about – it's about connectivity.
Mm-hmm.
It's about being able to understand what motivates these players. Because if you turn your star players off, you're done.
Yeah. They want out.
Yeah. Yep. And that's what I'm a little bit afraid of. Kopitar is such a good spirit, so I don't think we have to worry about that with him. But I just feel like there just can't be one man leading the charge. And I just felt like, again, Toffoli and Pearson and obviously Carter's injury. But the steam was let out. But we all had this expectation. Although, with that said, they had one of the best franchise starts ever in Kings history. So it's just a matter
it
of playoffs.
Takes a village.
Yeah, and getting – and again, it's staying injury-free. And we know this. I mean, the Capitals rose at just the right time. Yep. Ovi finally got his cup and, you know, the team and Barry Trotz. But I just – it's like you said, everything has to fall perfectly into place, and it starts with that leadership.
Yeah,
so.
It's the hardest championship thing. You're going to win 16 games. Yeah. It's not easy. It's physical. These guys have played 82 games, and now you're asking them to play upwards of 20 more. That's 102,
it's a long season.
It's 102 games of being stressed.
And so
it's a very demanding physical sport. So that's why you don't see repeat Stanley Cup. So when the Pittsburgh Penguins won 2 years ago, back-to-back, that was in a Stanley Cup era.
Unheard of. In a Stanley Cup era.
Amazing. Yeah. And they almost won a third, and maybe they come back and win. But it's such a grueling, grinding sport that if you don't have – if everybody's not in sync and on the same page, and that was the problem here in Los Angeles. The coach and the GM and the players weren't on the same page. Now they all are.
Yeah.
Now they have a mission. Now they all get it. Now it's one team going towards one goal, and they're all on the same page. Whether they execute or not, I'm not sure they have the requisite talent to win a Stanley Cup championship, but they can be very dangerous.
Yeah. Well, in a couple of years, we could see some exciting things. And kind of transitioning – out of the NHL into baseball. We've got the All-Star game. We just had the Derby last night. And also, I don't know if you guys saw the news, but there's extreme weather happening in D.C. right now. Thunder, lightning, the city is shutting down. So let's pray for that city so they can have their game. But thoughts on the Derby? Did you watch the Derby, didn't you?
Yeah, I did watch the Derby. I caught some of the Derby. It's, you know, we were talking about this off air. The Derby's kind of like a dying event, almost. Like, it's really going downhill.
But this one had the most home runs of
any
other Derby.
It was a good Derby. It was a good Derby because of Bryce Harper.
Yep.
Bryce Harper really made this Derby good. He was a hometown hero. I mean, you look at I think it was in 2015 when the Derby, the All-Star game was in Cincinnati, and you had a guy like Todd Frazier on the Reds win the home run Derby. That was amazing for the city. The whole crowd exploded, just like the crowd exploded for Bryce Harper, because he's this hometown guy in the American uniform.
Everyone was on their feet. It was like you would think it'd be a world,
like a WWE. It's
fixed. He looked like a wrestler, though. He honestly looked like a wrestler when he was cheering.
Well, I like the designs on the bats. That's kind of cool.
That was cool.
But here's the problem, and I mentioned to you before we started, David. Players don't want to play in it because it screws up their swing, number one. Number two, these guys get injured. Like when Aaron Judge last year, he had to take a cortisone shot in his shoulder. And you can't do that. You can't jeopardize your season or your team's chances for the World Series off an exhibition. It's not even an exhibition game. It's a stunt, right? And it was cool going back to the day. And, 4, 5, 6 years of his relevance. But what you see, when you see the players that were in the event last night, not a lot of star power. Max Muncy's having a great season, but you wouldn't think Max Muncy's going to draw people. Bryce Harper was the attraction.
Yes, he was.
And I think, to David's point, that I think if they continue with this, you're going to have a hometown hero in that event to make it make sense for the crowd and make it exciting.
Got to make a storyline.
Well, they don't have. But let me ask you guys. Yeah. They don't have a choice to participate. I mean, do they have a choice to participate? Because I kind of feel like it's a lose-lose if they don't participate in all these events and everything.
No, they can opt out. Aaron Judge is playing tonight, but he didn't play in the. And I mentioned also is that look, Bryce Harper after the event said, my obliques hurt me, so I wouldn't be shocked that the next 2 weeks he goes on the DL from taking so many hard swings. That's the issue. That's the challenge. So, and the next year I think it's in. I don't know if it's in San Diego or whatever. I mean, you're gonna
next year. I'm not sure. It was in San Diego about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And that's when
you're going to have to find a star player on that team to make it sense because you're not going to get the same crowd reaction, especially when you have guys that nobody really knows about. And and you see more every year you get less and less true star players coming in and not playing. Carl Stanton didn't make the All-Star team. Could you put him in there? Yeah, you could have. I mean, so
Indians are hosting 2019.
The Indians,
That's
so that's good. So you'll have Jose Ramirez, or Edwin Encarnacion. So you'll have legitimate players, which is good. But I think that the franchises and the big picture, they don't care about it because remember, it's not about the game's not about getting home field advantage in the World Series anymore.
Which is terrible.
It was ridiculous, right?
It really made the game watchable. Like it really was like,
So
the
you
AL,
like that.
I like it.
Okay.
I mean, I get the whole record thing and I get how it's important, how it can help, but I really do like it. Mm-hmm. Like I'm really for it. Mm-hmm. I think it's nice. It's just like a weird little like complex. Like, this is my division. I can win from my division, but maybe I don't want another team from my division.
Right.
I like it. It puts meaning to the game. It puts more meaning to the game than
an exhibition game, though, David. So I there's always a chance. Like, All-Star games in general are passé. Like, the Pro Bowl, Nobody watches the bubble.
They had to up the rules on the bubble.
Nobody watches the bubble.
They just say play the game.
Right.
NHL All-Star game, you know what that is? That's a weekend for players to go in with their wives or their girlfriends and party
and
out.
And they cut that game too. They cut into separate games.
Exactly.
Which is horrible.
Time and like, you know, believe me, we're at last the All-Star game in Tampa.
It's pomp and circumstance. We know that, but it's such a risk for the players.
It's a risk for the players, number one. Number two, what it really is, it's a reward to the advertisers and the sponsors. They get flown to All-Star game. They get the prime tickets. They get to the after parties and the cool private parties. That's what that's about.
Such
it's about marketing. It's about, and the problem is that, at least in some sports, you don't market the players enough, right? And it's about the players. So to me, it's like a passe thing. That was like really cool. Like the baseball All-Star game was great when the AL and NL didn't play each other, when there was no interleague, because there was a little bit of intrigue. Now, Willie Mays hitting against, I don't know, Mel Stottlemyre or whatever. I mean, you had that back in the day. I'm old enough to remember that stuff. But now with interleague play, it's the relevance just isn't there, but they're going to continue. They have to have some really smart people at the league office try to figure out how to keep this relevant, right? Mm-hmm. Is it different types of competitions? Is it changing the rules around, making it a five-inning game? I don't know, but that's the challenge. That's the issue, because tonight, will I watch it? I don't know.
Sure.
It's
I'm not watching Netflix instead.
Sure.
I'm at the end of Breaking Bad, and there's five more episodes left.
So honey, I watched that straight through for like a week and didn't leave my house. So that's a whole nother show.
That's another story. But I mean, the NBA, they kind of have like, I mean, their All-Star game is very much a show. I mean, you've seen some injuries there, but they have like the Saturday night, they have a couple events because they can have a couple events. Right. You have guys shooting threes, you have guys dunking, which has gone so downhill. I don't even want to get into how downhill the slam dunk contest has gone.
Let's get revved up, folks.
Oh, my God. Since guys like Vince Carter and Dwight Howard was in it and Nate Robinson was coming and winning it, you had guys really showing out for the slam dunk contest. Now you have guys that people – like Derek Jones Jr., who was in it, and guys like Jeremy Evans a couple of years ago – they don't play in the game. They're just good dunkers.
That's to my point about the home run derby.
Which is insane. But you have other stuff. You have the skills competition. You have the celebrity game, which is – it's fun, but it's a joke. The celebrity game is.
But it's an All-Star weekend, though. That's
And I think to your point, Dennis, like it is about the celebration of the, you know, the marketing and the sponsors, all of that. But I will say, even as a fan, like I love watching when the NHL All-Star game was here. Mm-hmm. I love the pomp circumstance and having a break
until the game starts. It's great
having a break from the competition. Right. I guess I just think it's kind of nice to have that just mid game, I guess, if you will, or mid sport break to just enjoy. You know, I don't know, enjoy the players, see them come together.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And no, it's good for the players, but when you have the best of them risking their bodies an exhibition game, then it's kind
of
dangerous.
Of course.
Because you've seen, I mean, Kobe a couple of years ago took a knock in the NBA All-Star game.
And
I just know, it was bad.
So what are your guys' thoughts on that? Should it happen at the end of the season? Should it?
Well, that's a NFL Pro Bowl kind of thing. Well, then if it's right before the Super Bowl, then some of the best players, like when Matt Ryan won the MVP, he didn't even play. He didn't even play in the Pro Bowl because he was going to the Super Bowl.
Should it be an off-season thing maybe then? I don't know.
I think the Pro Bowl, their other events have gotten better. It's really more about like, I don't want to use this word, but like stupid fun. Like it's really like they play dodgeball. They have like weird little competitions. They have like you got to catch the ball from really high in the air.
A TV show, The Superstars, where they used to take these players.
I think it's cool.
And make them swim.
Sure.
And some guys couldn't swim. They almost drowned and stuff like that. So maybe you put it in the NFL is off the board because it's really weird because the season's short. Every game's important, right? So, but the other sports, maybe you do it preseason. Like, you know, when you do the World Baseball Classic. When do you do it? They do it in March. Sure. So maybe you have a comparable
for hockey,
thing.
September would be perfect.
September. Well, they do a World Cup of Hockey. So that might be an issue. That might be a challenge. But again, it's always like this is all team sports. And it's about the franchise and it's about protecting their players. So there are challenges with the All-Star game because the concept was popular in the 50s and 60s and some said it's 70s. I mean, you go back to the All-Star game when Pete Rose ran over Ray Fosse, that lasting image. But now you don't have the images that you take away from the All-Star baseball game is from the home run derby. It's
less
not
and less.
Really. It's not from the game itself.
Sure.
Right? And now you got guys pitching. You know, in the old All-Star games, guys would pitch five or six innings.
Right.
One inning. Like maybe if
you want to involve everyone, you feel bad because you put all these pitchers on your roster, and then if you have an actual start, like what if you have a great start and then you go seven setup and closer? That's I mean that's how normal games hope to work, but you can't do that in an All-Star game because people come to see their pitchers and you hope for certain guys to get in. Like I know I actually happened to be there in 2016 in San Diego. A guy like Bartolo Colon was on the roster. everyone wanted him to come in.
Of course.
But you had other pitchers pitching trying to actually win the game because it was actually a close game.
Not only that, do you have kids who are the first time in an All-Star game? And that's – I got into it once. I was covering an All-Star game in, I think, in 2012 in Detroit when they put Kenny Rogers in. He had made all those negative comments and gave the cameraman a good time. And they put Kenny Rogers in, and they didn't put a first-time All-Star in. I'm like, first of all, this guy treated the media like crap, got booed when he came in the game, and it was a home game for the American League. And I asked Tito Francona, like, what's the deal? Why'd you put in – what do you think about the reaction? He blew up at me. He goes, oh, what do you think this is – you know, that's the first question you're going to ask me. But that's it. I get Bartolo Colon wanting to go in the game, but Bartolo's been in an All-Star game.
Exactly.
How about the guy like Sean Doolittle maybe that doesn't get in an All-Star game one time?
Sure.
This is his one shot. Put him in the game. It doesn't mean anything.
Sure.
And so that's the challenge. That's the issue. So I agree with you. You can't – it's just the format and the attractiveness of this game was relevant – 25, 30 years
sure.
ago. Now it's like you need the marketing people in these sports to figure out if you're going to display the best athletes in the sport, how do you best display them?
Exactly.
Of course. Well, as we know, it marks the midseason of MLB. So what are some predictions? How are we feeling about overall league?
We're about at – you said it, we're about midseason.
Yeah.
You got teams like the Yankees and Red Sox fighting for that spot.
Dodgers are slaying.
Dodgers are – they've been climbing up ever since their early season injuries. Corey Seager went out with the Tommy John surgery. Mm-hmm. Justin Turner was out a little bit. You got teams like the Astros and the Mariners fighting up there. The A's are kind of like at their
A's
heels
have been
a little
fantastic.
Bit. They've been better.
They're
They've
like
been much
three
better.
Three games out of a wild card. And you've got four – it might be the first time ever you could have four teams win 100 games in one league.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's how good the American League's been. But,
sure.
you know, there's the turnaround on that is that there's some really bad teams in the league.
Ooh.
Right? That's the challenge. Mm-hmm. That's the issue. It's like, you know, it's like if you're in Kansas City – and that's the problem with the sport that doesn't have a salary cap. Right? Mm-hmm. It has a luxury tax, but not a salary cap. So do the teams, like in a Chicago White Sox fan or a Kansas City Royals fan, when the season starts, do you really have hope? Like, that's a great thing about football, right? Mm-hmm. Your team could win this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Cincinnati because they choke every year. Maybe not Cincinnati. But your team could win. And, like, in baseball, there's six teams. You mentioned Houston.
Sure.
You know, Yankees. Who's coming out of the pack? You know, nobody. Who's coming from wildcard? Wildcard team could be 105
exactly.
win team. So it's there's eight teams maybe that can win it all. And you've got a 30-league team. So that's a challenge. That's an issue. So I think the teams that David mentioned, fine. I mean, the Red Sox have been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
they've
that
been
team
wonderful.
Just doesn't lose. They're 69-30. J.D. Martinez came in late as a free agent. Has been great.
Mm-hmm.
Mookie Betts could be the MVP. They've been fantastic. The Yankees are an exciting team. Houston defending champions. They probably have the best pitching staff to go. So,
oh my God,
and that's a challenge. That like you know. So while the Dodgers, I think every day they're thankful they're not in the American League.
Sure,
right? Because
sure.
there's four teams better than them in the American League, but in the National League, it's up for grabs. Maybe the Brewers are the best team.
Yeah,
the Dodgers have been playing great. I think they're the fastest team to go from 10 under to 10 over since like the 1950s. So they've really rallied because of the depth of their organization.
Right.
They've had depth. Max Muncy came out of nowhere. I have friends who, you know, work for the Dodgers. I'm like, who's Max Muncy? Like in April. Like, oh, he's really good. So he's rallied. You know, their depth's there. Justin Turner came back. You know, it's that glue guy. You know, Justin Turner, great hitter, but it's about the intangibles he brings to the team. They're a different mentality team with Justin Turner in the lineup, and that turned the team around. As soon as he got back in the lineup, they took off. So they could easily win. Now, are they going to go get Manny Machado, which makes sense, even as a rental, because Seager's not there. You can plug him in shortstop because Manny wants to play shortstop but is not a good defensive shortstop. So next year, if you're signing the big money, you got to figure out what you're going to do with Seager. Maybe you put Manny at third, but you got Justin Turner there.
Yeah.
So, but it's wide open. Could the Dodgers go back to the World Series easily?
Very well could.
The challenge is once they get there, they're not as good as these other four teams. So what are they going to do? They, you know, as much as we talk about Manny Machado in L.A., they need a pitcher. They need another starting pitcher.
Maybe they tried that, though. Last year, they tried with the rental of Yu Darvish, and you saw where that got him in Game 7. I mean, I'm not discrediting Yu Darvish, I think, for the Rangers.
You are, but it's okay. He deserved to be discredited, right?
I'm an Angels fan, so it's discrediting Rangers players
David's
is kind of what I do.
David's just all
backwards
in L.A. David, you should trade Trout for like nine guys.
God.
The team would be good again.
We tried. We had like nine guys, and they all got injured.
But as we know, a pitcher is as important as the goalie is in hockey in the playoffs.
Because
they've got to stack up their pitchers when you get to that World Series.
And the Dodgers have... I mean, their pitching staff is enough, I'll say, to get them to the series. But when you go up against like I mean, you saw last year with Houston. They really just kind of outwilled the Dodgers. And Houston, I mean, with guys like Justin Verlander and Dallas Keuchel and Garrett Cole, they have one of the best rotations. Like the best rotation.
Without question.
In the entire MLB. There's really, I mean, the Sox, I mean, are kind of looking okay.
Well, the Sox are going to be, because their lineup is dangerous. But the thing with Houston is their bullpen's bad. They had their stars sent down to the minors. Giles got sent down to the minors.
Giles was great, though.
So he was great.
He needs some polishing. We talked about that.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's the challenge with that team. Like, their lineup's great. Mm-hmm. The manager's really smart. Their starting pitching's amazing. But you get them to the seventh or eighth inning,
sure.
Like, you're going to beat them. They don't have any confidence. So do they go get, I don't know who they could go get, maybe Wade Davis if Colorado falls out. So they're going to have to look at their bullpen situation. With the Dodgers, they have, you know, they have Kershaw. If Clay isn't the Clay that we know, they're not going anywhere. But assume he's healthy. So you've got him. You've got Hill. You've got Wood. So you've got three lefty starters. Mm-hmm. And you've got Maeda coming out of the bullpen. You need another right-handed starter to play against.
Absolutely.
Because you know what? Right-handers get digging against lefties. And Clay, for all his greatness, you mentioned the World Series. He wasn't great in the World Series.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah. He wasn't. That game in Houston that cost them the series, ultimately cost them the series, that was the challenge. So I really think, go get Manny. It'll help their lineup. But they got to go find another right-handed pitcher.
Sure.
So maybe it's the kid in Tampa, I forget the name, his name right now, but go get another right-handed pitcher.
Right.
I think that'll balance out the pitching rotation and maybe another bullpen help.
Well, I mean, we're going to need to see some moves, that's for sure. I mean, we know NHL's going to be slow, the NBA is going to be a little bit slow, so all eyes are going to be on
you
all
got
these moves,
a
for
bunch
sure.
of teams. I mean, you've had a lot of teams looking at Manny, and, you know, the other team that's looking at them are a team that I think deserve a lot of credit, aside from the Braves of what they've done, where they've come from, is the Phillies.
Yeah. Well, what other team do you think it's going to be competitive with?
The Phillies.
Yeah.
I think the Phillies, definitely. I mean, you looked at kind of like the Yankees a little bit, but it's really about the Phillies and the Dodgers.
Do you really see the Phillies going to the World Series, though?
I see them going farther than they did a couple years ago when they were at the bottom of the – same with the Braves.
I just can't put my arms around the Phillies in the World Series. I mean, I would look at a team like the Brewers who's doing really well. Yeah. And I look at the – I mean, I'll be honest with you, Arizona – okay. I mean, these teams are okay. Like Atlanta, could they go to the World Series? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they could. But the Phillies, Gabe Kaplan's done a great job in Philadelphia. I mean, he's got a really kind of weird outlook. He's really out there with respect to how he goes about his business with respect to his team. But they started off the season poorly.
Right.
And they kind of just gravitated towards this manager who's charismatic.
Right.
And they've responded. They got a lot of talent on the team. But again, it's a pack mentality. It's like, you know, the four teams in the American League separated each other, right? You could have a wild card team get in. Mm-hmm. You really could. I mean, and don't forget the Cubs. Mm-hmm. You know the Cubs got money. They're going to spend money. They'll go get Ed, maybe another pitcher or maybe another bullpen help. So you can't count them out. They're going to probably separate themselves from the Central Division.
It's just such a long season. We've got so much more time to go. It's hard to know what September's going to look like.
It is. But, I mean, it's really about those teams who can hold on for the entire season. Because you have teams
sustained.
Dark rate. I mean, I don't want to bring it back, but I so want to bring it back to how the Angels started off the beginning of the season.
Oh.
Amazing.
On
they
the
were
fire.
Fighting
sure.
at the top of the division with, I mean, the Mariners who just showed up and showed out, and Houston, who we all knew wouldn't be up there unless they took that fall.
Sure.
And then, I mean, with the Angels, they were a special case. They had every injury under the sun.
Mm-hmm. The pitching staff got decimated. They lost Garrett Richards. That was it.
Oh, that hurt. Garrett Richards, you had guys like, I mean, Heaney go down, Parker Bridwell go down. Mm-hmm. Matt Shoemaker go down.
No.
Shohei Ohtani went down.
That hurt, too.
Which hurt a lot because he was the guy for the Angels who was really about to turn the season around. Mm-hmm. You had Upton go down for a little bit. Cole Calhoun go down. Angelton Simmons, who seems to go down every single year. That entire team just kind of
got injured at once. Yep. At once. Now, you can have injuries, Dave, right? But you can you can't have them all at once.
No, when they happen all at once and you have like 15 guys on the DL and then the bullpen is absolutely no help. And a couple years ago, they brought in Houston Street from San Diego and he was supposed to be the guy. They had guys like Ernesto Friere who wasn't really doing much and you were looking forward to having a closer. He got hurt. He was blowing saves. Yeah. You have guys like Camber Dosian come in and try to do good, but he's not
and Middleton
doing amazing.
Middleton got hurt.
Everybody got hurt.
It's a rash of injuries.
So
and as deep as any organization might be, you can't overcome all that. And
no,
so they're
you
here.
Can't.
So there they are. They're just about 500. Or, you know, they played well against the Dodgers in the two freeway series. They held their own. They split the series. So they're not a bad team. It's just that you can't overcome that many injuries in one season.
No, you can't. And I mean, as we talked about, it's a long season. If the World Series were to begin in 2 weeks, really quick, your guys' two teams.
2 weeks.
Yeah, give us just, we're in a fantasy world right now.
Fantasy
who would you
world.
Like to see?
I'm going to let by a
Dennis. Go for it. Dennis, two teams.
Well, he's gonna go first.
Since I'm from the Bronx, Yankees and Dodgers.
Okay. David.
Wow. The NL still confuses me, but 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, shoot. If you were to base it right now shoot. In the standings.
All right. All right. Sox. And I got a buddy who's a Brewers fan. So
I like
Brewers.
It. There we go.
So
there
Brewers.
Go. So good. Well, it would be bad if we didn't talk about the World Cup. I know you want to chat about this. Did you watch?
I watched. I was watching a lot in the World Cup.
France takes it, you guys. If France. You lived under a rock, France took it 4-2. I don't know. I was kind of pulling for Croatia.
Everyone was, really.
Did you watch it, Dennis?
A lot
of
people
watch soccer. A little bit. No, no, it's a spectacle, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's
and the ultimate underdog in Croatia.
And Croatia was great. I think all the concerns about it being staged in Russia, except for those four people running on the field at the final game, which was staged, right? it was a spectacle. It was great.
It always is.
And you had that underdog king coming into play. Mm-hmm. So I think it was great. I think it was very entertaining. You know, the VAR, the video assistant referee stuff,
sure.
has to be tweaked a little bit. I'm not sure that handball call should have been made in the final game. I mean, it did hit him in the hand, but it really didn't affect the play. So they have to tweak that a little bit. But, you know, my concern is not this World Cup. It's the next one that's going to be played in Qatar, which is a really small country.
That's
which they have
tough.
To stage it at the end of the year because it's so hot in that, in that Middle Eastern country. I have the questions if they can go to 32 teams and execute like they did in Russia. Russia's the biggest country in the world.
Right,
They're going to maybe...
How are they going to facilitate that
much? It's the size of Connecticut Qatar. So that's my concern. Sure. It's like, will that affect the level of play? Getting teams around in the country, do they have enough places to play, to execute the game?
Right.
So that's my game. But it was a great spectacle. It was very enjoyable. I think they had a great World Cup. It was very entertaining. I'm not a soccer
was.
Guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm not. But
I'm
I
not
think,
really either, but it was definitely entertaining. It was nice to see
I think
these two.
The intrigue, well, I think England going as far as they did, getting through that far to the semifinals, I think that helped a lot.
There were a lot of good storylines leading up to it.
And England has great soccer fans, and I mean, they got the fourth place, but that game versus Croatia was just such a great game to watch with England scoring like the first 5 minutes. Then Croatia came back in like
well,
the
60th
minute.
Well, that game felt more like a final than
this actual
final. It really
did. They scored too soon. That was the problem. They scored 5 minutes in. But
and then Croatia came back in extra time, and you thought it was going to kind of go to PKs, but then they scored that amazing goal off, which was – and to talk about that goal for a second, I forget the goal scorer's name. Mm-hmm. You'll have to remind me. But what happened was it was a ball that went into the box. It got kicked out, and then headed back in, and there were about two England defenders right next to the guy who scored, and they just got lazy. They stopped. They weren't paying attention. They thought the ball was dead. He just came in, booted it into the top right corner. It was it was really the crowd. It was too much for England to come back, and it was really like it. I thought it really capped off the underdog story.
Yeah,
I mean,
the game, the way the game's played now and how it's coached and scattered has changed because in this World Cup, most of your goals were off set pieces. Mm-hmm. And now they have coaches for those plays because what happens is everybody's jammed in the box. So you're not really going to score that many goals in the box anymore. Mm-hmm. So you got to do it from distance. And so now what they do is they say, okay, we have to be better with our set pieces when we get the free kicks. We have to position our players better. So now these national teams have players. They have set piece coaches.
Exactly. There were a lot of goals off free kicks.
Yep, right.
There were a lot of goals that were scored just off of free kicks and free kicks that were outside of the box. Free kick would be in the box.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, and there were a lot of goals scored off of corners too.
Absolutely.
Which is just it's a textbook way to score in soccer. Mm-hmm. The corner, the boot, the head.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
It was just you saw a lot of goals off of that, and you rarely saw goals that were
in the pocket,
beats three defenders goes in. There's too many people in the box, but you know what? I'm good with soccer for four more years.
Yeah, no, it was definitely a great matchup, and like you said, now we've got the VAR. They've got to work that whole situation out. So it didn't leave any lack of drama. That is for sure. Yeah. But also, did you guys let's close out on Wimbledon? Did you guys follow tennis Wimbledon at all?
I have been. Selectively following
well,
tennis.
Well, for whoever, again, does not follow tennis, Novak Djokovic won men's singles, and that was a huge story because we thought Roger Federer was going to take it, the
or
king
Nadal.
Of tennis, or Nadal, exactly. So, hats off to Novak. He really hung in there. And then also, their last match was a tie. That was pretty incredible, but he took that. And then Angelique Kerber over Serena Williams. And the story with Serena is just... We're talking months after having her baby, gets into the finals. I mean, did you guys have any thoughts on that?
She's a world-class athlete.
One of the best.
There's one female tennis player that could have done that.
One of the best.
Her. Mm-hmm. That's it. Nobody else could have done
that. She's like the premier female tennis player. Mm-hmm. And she, I think, will be for a long time.
Right.
Yeah.
just because of like her stamina and her skill. Like it's just it's amazing.
And she's
like,
just really she's an immaculate that's personality and player. She just in her professionalism, even having lost, she was just so composed and just so gracious and generous about getting that far.
She triumphed in defeat. Yeah, is what she did. Yeah. Right, she won. By Lou, it didn't matter if she won that match. She's won so many titles. It would have been epic if she did win that Wimbledon title. But I think she achieved more by not winning because it took the focus off of what it took to get there. Mm-hmm. And that was just a magnificent feat to do that. Like you said, coming, giving birth and coming back and doing that in that short a period of time.
Sure.
I think that's the triumph, not winning the title.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, the story was all about her, too, which just proves, again, athleticism. We just love to follow these athletes and
role
see
model.
How hard, exactly,
An
how hard they claw.
Absolute role model. If you want to model yourself if you're a female athlete, there's your role model right there, Serena Williams.
So good. We have covered a lot, you guys. My brain is spinning a little bit. We had so much happening in this last week.
It's that summer sports,
so
good.
I know.
Exactly. It's all coming together.
Well, the multi-talented Dennis Bernstein, thank you for joining our panel. You gave us so much insight. Thank you so much. I appreciate all of our viewers. I wasn't able to keep up with the live chat because I am sitting in for Bonnie Jill, but thank you for tuning in. I am Becky Sotero. You can find me on all things Becky Sotero. Where can they find you?
Yeah, David H. Bloom, Instagram, Twitter. Hit me up. We can talk anything we just talked about. We've covered a lot.
Yes. And Dennis, where can everybody find you?
TheFourthPeriod.com is my hockey writing. Yeah. Dennis TFP on Twitter, also on Instagram.
Perfect. So we would love to have you back. Chat
Absolutely.
All things
you
NHL in the
amazing.
Season.
Absolutely.
My friends, we'll see you next Tuesday at 2 p.m. Bonnie Jill will be right here, and we'll hear all the stories about the All-Star game. See you guys next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.